Order, and I'd like to apologize to everyone for the delays that we've had in being able to start our conference meeting, and I'm sorry to inform you that there's going to be another delay. We're waiting for copying to be done so that we would have copies available to everyone. And we need to, at this point, entertain a motion to allow the conference committee to meet beyond midnight to 1 o'clock, which is according to joint rules of the House and Senate.
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Moved by Representative Morrow. Discussion to the motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We will get started just as soon as we have the copies for everyone to see.
Mr. Chair, sometime in about the next 10 or 15 minutes, it will probably be posted online as well.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're in recess, Mr. Chair.
We're going to recess until at least another 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, come on.
There we go.
Got it.
Okay. As everyone knows, the so-called stadium bill was passed by the House on late Monday, well into the evening, and late last night on the Senate floor. And so obviously we haven't had a whole lot of time to go through the normal process for a conference committee. Because we're coming up to the deadline where we have to adjourn sine die here very shortly, running up to the 120 limit. And for those who may be questioning this process of trying to do it in one day when normally a bill of this magnitude would last for several days, maybe a week or more, we had no choice in this situation. But for anybody who feels a little bit uncomfortable about that, I want to point out that this bill had, on the House floor, almost 9 hours of debate, more than that on the Senate. It had 25 hours of consideration. This bill has been aired publicly about as much as any I can remember in my 10 years of experience. And so it has been out there a long time. The bill is much like the bill. It was first introduced back in early March. And so this has been out there a long time. It's had extensive review by the legislature, both the House and the Senate, and by the public. And unfortunately, I wish we had more time to go through the conference process, but given the constraints we're under, this is the best that we can do. Our plan for this evening, first of all, we are going to ask Pat McCormick from House Research to walk us through the bill. And we will give the conferees an opportunity to ask questions. We will also give anybody in the audience an opportunity to approach the conference committee and share your thoughts or concerns. I want to warn everyone that under joint House and Senate rules, we cannot have this meeting go beyond 1 a.m. That's a clear rule mandate that any conference committee is under. So I think we will just proceed. And before I call on Mr. McCormick, I want to thank him and all of his colleagues and on the House side and all the colleagues on the Senate side, and thank our reviser staff, Jeff Case, and all the folks there. You cannot imagine how difficult it is for staff to try and pull something like this together in such a short time frame. And I'm absolutely amazed at the work that they can do under tremendous pressure, tremendous time constraints, and so I want to publicly thank them for the tremendous service that they've given to all of us and to the state of Minnesota. So, Mr. McCormick, would you walk us through the bill?
Mr. Chair, members, Patrick McCormick for the tape. Section Article 1 is the article that establishes the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority, and that creates a series of terms for the construction, design, and governance of the stadium process. The first section in Article 1 of note is the new Legislative Commission on Minnesota Sports Facilities, which was established in the Senate bill, which will provide legislative oversight of the stadium process. Moving on, many of the provisions here are going to be familiar to folks. For example, on Section 2, we were just cross-referencing the state's audit section, and we're bringing, in Section 3, we're bringing the facility authority under the audit provisions. So I'm going to move to
Excuse me, just a moment. I want to let people know what's happened. They've been called up to vote on the Senate floor. That's why they... Mr. McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the next substantive section is the appropriation section. It's in Section 5. And this section is put in to make sure that the transfers of funds within the bill are correctly appropriated. You'll see here... in paragraph C, that there is $2.7 million, and that's to the City of St. Paul for operating or capital costs of new or existing sports facilities. On Section 6 is the exemption for building materials at the new football stadium. This is a sales tax exemption that most new arenas and sports facilities have. Liquor licenses is on page 6, Section 7. More technical language on page 7 and page 8. On page 8, we get into the purpose section, which is designed in part to protect the state in any legal disputes in these matters. We're moving to page 9, where there's a definition section, and these are terms of art that are used throughout the bill. Under Section 11 on page 10, we established the new Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority, creating a membership of 5 members, and we have a number of provisions which are essentially boilerplate for this sort of commission. Moving on to Section 12 on page 11, here is a section which states conditions for possible expansion of the duties of the authority. This is permissive if other sports facilities and their governing boards choose to, at some later date, become part of the Sports Facilities Authority. This is a made possible under this section. This was Senate language from Senator Reinert, by the way. In Section 13, we outline the powers and duties of the authority. Most of these provisions are standard governance provisions. I'm going to call attention to some on page 14. Here we have a much-debated exemption from Metropolitan Council review on the Business Subsidy Act, which is, once again, fairly routine for this type of a project. We have some legislative reports. On page 14, we also have a study of the potential for a raffle for seats within the new stadium, and that study will be to determine if this is a feasible idea. The stadium is to be located at the stadium site in the city of Minneapolis. That's specified in page 14. Section 15 has a series of provisions outlining the stadium design and construction process and how that works between the new authority, the team, and the ways we're going to consider how the stadium is designed and constructed. And there are a number of provisions about potentially choosing a design build, a design and build, a P3 process for determining this. And this is all, and for the most part, language that you've seen in many of the earlier drafts and in many of the earlier committee. Just to point out that on page 17, subdivision 3, we have a number of design parameters. Those are substantially the same as you've seen all along. I want to punctuate something on page 18, that this is a fixed or retractable roof, provided that if the roof is retractable, it is to be accomplished without any increase in the funding provided by the state or the city. We have the expanded cost overrun protection language, which came on in the House. This language does say that the authority may accept financial obligations related to cost overruns associated with the site. It also goes on to say, though, that the process is that these cost overruns are responsibility of any successful bidder for the construction, and so therefore that responsibility will be transferred to the winning bidder who's constructing the stadium. We also state that if the NFL team chooses through this negotiated design and construction process to be the authority that designs and constructs the stadium, that they would accept cost overruns. You'll note that we explicitly state the limits on the deal on page 18. The state's share of the stadium cost is limited to $348 million for construction of a new stadium. This is $50 million lower than the term sheet which we had been working off of. That term sheet had specified a $398 million state share, and in this bill, the new state share is $348 million. You also note that the City of Minneapolis share, which had been $150 million plus capital and operating, is locked in at that as per the term sheet. On Section 16, we have the commemorative bricks language. We have a number of provisions in Section 17 for about employment, protecting certain current employees. We also have a minority and recruitment language, which came on the House floor. In Section 18, we're going to go through and specify terms for the stadium operations and capital improvements at the stadium. This is where you'll see the working term agreement on how the operating capital costs are divided between the authority and the team, and that is as it was per the term sheet. The authority is responsible for cost overruns, but the team and the authority share are specified. There's also a capital reserve fund that is established in this section. Section 19 specifies further criteria, including on subdivision 3 on page 22. We have a 30-year term lease. We have provisions allowing the team to play an occasional game on international site. We have a variety of lease protection requirements for the state of Minnesota. One, which is a much discussed piece, is on page 24. This is the public share on sale of the NFL team. This language had been 18% in earlier versions. You now see that on page 24, line 24, the beginning is a 25% in the amount of the excess of purchase price by the NFL team. There is a series of stair steps where it falls to 15% and then 10%, and thereafter this public share clawback provision goes away. There's a number of provisions of interest on page 25. Probably the biggest one is the Major League Soccer provision, which is in this bill. It's on page 25, line 34. Allowing soccer. The change here from earlier versions is on page 26, which is on line 6. Under the earlier versions, there was to be no rent paid for a 5-year period lock in on the team, and now the team will pay rent based on market conditions. On section 20, we go through a series of provisions that are standard to these sorts of deals, outlining the municipal activities that the city has to conform with, and environmental and other protections that are structured. In Section 21, we have a property tax exemption. There's a general property tax exemption law which would affect a stadium like this, but we have put in a specific one, and you'll note on page 28, lines 20 through line 25, we create a corridor for restaurants that are open more than 200 days a year to pay property taxes. We have liquor license provisions, section 22. We have a local tax prohibition for any additional local taxes not contemplated in this bill. In section 24, we do away with the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission. This is something that will happen over time as we transition to the new stadium authority. That concludes quick run through Article 1, and Article 2 is the bonding, and I think it's going to be described by one of my colleagues.
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Joel Michael from House Research. Article 2 has only one section which contains the authorization for the state to issue appropriation bonds to finance the stadium. This provision, the material changes from the bills that passed the two houses are the changes in the dollar amounts, which are, as one would expect, lower than the House amount and higher than the Senate amount, you'll see that the authorization for the appropriation bonds is $498 million on line 31 of page 30. All of the remaining changes in this section that were made are largely technical in nature and were either requested by the agency or bond council. I'll turn over Article 3 to Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, Nora Pollack from Senate Counsel and Research. Article 3 is the provisions for the Minneapolis Convention Center taxes. Generally, there are no changes to this these provisions than what were adopted by both bodies. I would note that on page 41, section 4, there's a waiver provision, waiver for the charter limitations provision, such that any amounts expended or indebted or obligations occurred by the taken by the city are not deemed an expenditure for purposes of a city charter. There's a severability provision in section 5, and there's some standard language beginning at the bottom of page 41 and the top of page 42 regarding the effective date for the extension of the Minneapolis city taxes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll go through the tax portions of Article 4, which is the lawful gambling article. The first portions of this restructure the tax that's imposed on lawful gambling, which reflects the changes that were in both bills. The material changes from the bills that passed the two bodies are on page 44 and 45. And you will see that the structure of this is to replace the current gross receipts tax on lawful gambling, with of which there are actually three different taxes being replaced with this one new net receipts tax, so that the tax will no longer be on the gross but on the net. Initially, in both the House and the Senate had different rate schedules for this tax. The rate schedule that is here in Section 6 is now bifurcated into two different rate schedules. The first one in paragraph A is the rate schedule that will apply starting July 1st. It has rates that are a little bit lower than the Senate, quite a bit higher than the House. The bottom rate is 9%, and the top rate is 36%. If the amount of lawful gambling revenue hits the revenue estimate that the committee has been operating on for fiscal year 16, in that case, the Commissioner of Revenue will certify that the rate schedule in paragraph B, which has a lower rate schedule that's closer to what the House had, will go into effect. And you can see there, rather, the bottom rate is 8.5% rather than 9%, and the top rate is 34% rather than 36%. The other element of this that should be noted is in paragraph C, it provides that for the revenue that the lawful gambling organizations derive from the sports-themed tip boards, which are authorized by this article, they will retain all of that revenue and will not be subject to tax. The next provision is that there is on page 47, section 11, this is what we've generally referred to as the waterfall provision, that provides that if revenues increase above the amount that's necessary to cover all of the costs under the bill, that those revenues measured relative to the February forecast will then be allocated to a reserve fund that the Commissioner of Management and Budget has discretion to use. The Commissioner could use it to prepay the appropriation debt or to make other appropriate expenditures. With that, I'll turn over the changes in the substantive lawful gambling to Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to describe the rest of this article in a very topical fashion because there's a lot of sections and most of which are technical. This article makes legal the use of electronic pull tab machines and electronic bingo machines. It establishes the number of these machines that can be had in a particular site, tying that site to the existence of a license for alcohol service, and it begins allowing those machines to be operated as soon as the Gambling Control Board can put into place the structure and the regulatory authority for allowing these machines into the state of Minnesota. The machines are structured in such a way that they are not to be exactly operated or operated in any manner like a slot machine, and instead they are to act and mimic the current play of bingo and electronic pull tabs. And most of the sections in this article are conditioned on making this happen legally. There's also a separate appropriation, which is a percentage of the revenues, which goes to compulsive gambling. And this is a section that was in both of the bills, and I think you can find that on a earlier in the article. It's page 44, I think.
It's okay.
Continuing onward, the EMA, and just to finish off this section, you're going to see some of the description of location restrictions and where they can be on page 72. You're going to be seeing some of the limits on the number of devices that may be played on this and in later sections. You're going to see the rent that would be paid to the various bar organizations on page 74. You're going to see some of the prize amounts are on page 80. On page 80, you're also going to see an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety. This is for background checks. It's an authority provision on page 80 and an appropriation on page 81. You're going to see a severability clause on page 80 as well. The severability clause is necessary because scattered throughout this bill in eight different sections, there is an allowance for professional sports tip boards. And those are allowed under this bill, but they are not tied to the financial structure of the bill in any way. Appropriations are on page 81, and that concludes the Article 4. I'm going to bridge and leap into Article 5 briefly. In Article 5, we have a compulsive gambling annual report. This is language that came on the Senate floor and that we've adopted. And then I'm going to turn to Nora to explain some of the rest of Article 5.
Ms. Molly?
Mr. Chair, beginning on page 82, Section 2 contains a provision for sales tax exemption for building materials for capital projects, which are the provision for the capital projects is contained in Section 6. I'm jumping ahead a little bit on page 84. This is a provision that allows cities of the first class, so it would be Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rochester, and Duluth, to use excess revenues from any of their local or special sales taxes to fund capital projects of regional significance that are have a construction cost of at least $40 million. I would note that in this section there is also language that would waive any charter provisions that could affect use of revenues for these types of projects. Section 3 and Section 4 on page 82 and 83 are just the refund provisions for the capital equipment sales tax provisions. And then on page 84 and 85, there are some provisions for use of the stadium by amateur sports leagues and high school leagues. Amateur sports must be allowed to use the stadium 10 days a year, and those days must be negotiated in good faith with the authority. For high school leagues, at least 7 days per year, and those the lessees may not be charged a fee for their use.
Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude by describing Article 6, which contains the backup or blink-on funding. This has been changed somewhat from the original bills, reflecting, I think, the judgment of the committee that with a more secure basic revenue source, the need for additional backup revenues was not as great. There are two backup sources that can be imposed by the Commissioner of Management and Budget if the amount of lawful gambling revenues are insufficient to cover the cost of the stadium debt service and operating and capital cost, and those are the sports-themed lottery and a 10% tax on suites at the stadium. Another feature of this that was not originally in the bill is that there's authority for, or there's power for the authority to make a determination that the backups are not necessary and to essentially terminate the backup authority, which is on page 86 in paragraph E. And that concludes the description of the bill, the proposed report.
Questions from the conferees?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could somebody just point out where the study for the problem gambling is?
Madam Chair, that's in Article 5, and I think it's page 81.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McCormick, is that the House or the Senate?
Madam Chair, that's the Senate provision.
Senate provision.
Mr. McCormick, could you point to the section that deals with the proceeds on the tip boards and how that is handled?
Mr. Chairman, that's in Article 4, Section 6 on page 45 in paragraph C, which is on lines 26 through 30. You will see that essentially by exempting these sports-themed tip boards from the taxes under 297E.02, what that in effect does is allow the lawful gambling organizations to retain all of the revenue from those sports-themed tip boards for their own both lawful purposes and charitable contributions.
Other questions from conferees?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just make a note, if I could, or maybe a question, I'm not sure, page 85, the High School League. I think this is rather interesting when we talk about People's Stadium using the and allowing the lessee of the stadium not charging Minnesota State High School League for at least 7 days each year for soccer football tournaments. That's a point of interest I think is good, but I go back up to whoever can answer this, maybe the amateur sports on the page 84. It's a up to 10 days. Maybe somebody can explain if it's 12, 14, what's the process if it's a few more days. I guess I would just have that question. Is there a mechanism in here to handle that?
Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think that would be simply a matter as it is with the Metrodome now, where the Amateur Sports Commission would have to negotiate with the authority to arrange for additional dates, and this does not, you know, guarantee them anything more than 10, but I think it creates the expectation that there could very well be more on the same terms as the initial 10.
Sure. Thanks.
Those actually work well together.
What's that? Yeah. Any other questions from conferees? I'd like to ask Commissioner France to come forward, if he would, to since the big key element here of the bill is the revenue generated from the electronic pull tabs and bingo. Commissioner? Thought he was here.
Got it. Thank you.
Got it. Good.
Thank you.
I keep losing.
Thank you.
Well, we'll call on him later. Mr. Lester Bagley from Minnesota Vikings has requested an opportunity to appear before us. Mr. Bagley. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Lester Bagley, Vice President of Public Affairs and Stadium Development for the Minnesota Vikings. Thank you for your work and efforts to be partners with the Minnesota Vikings. We are grateful for the tremendous amount of work that has gone into this project over many years and this long journey. Tonight, I'm very pleased to announce that the Vikings have agreed to terms with state leaders to finance and construct a new multi-purpose stadium in Minnesota. We've agreed to contribute upfront $477 million, which remains the third largest private contribution in the NFL history. We've agreed to contribute $13 million annually in operating costs, which is now 54% of the life cycle cost of the project. The Vikings and the Wilfs have stepped up. We've compromised on the site. We like the site very much, but we've compromised on the site. We've compromised on the roof, and we've put in a significant capital contribution. The Wilfs have stepped up and made a huge commitment to Minnesota and a huge commitment to Minnesota Viking fans. We've made a commitment to secure this franchise and to stabilize this franchise for the future generations in Minnesota. There's still some work to do tonight and tomorrow to close up the bill and to pass it, hopefully, off the House floor and the Senate. But lastly, I just want to, again, thank the members of the Conference Committee for their work. Again, we're grateful for the work of the tremendous efforts of a lot of people, especially the bill authors, Representative Lanning, Senator Rosen, thank you very much. All four caucus leaders who worked hard on this effort, especially Governor Dayton for his leadership, Mayor Ryback for his leadership, Sports Commission Chair Ted Mondale, and the business community, organized labor, but especially Viking fans from across the state whose voices were heard. And hopefully we can wrap this bill up and move it forward. And once again, I want to thank you very much for the time to make a couple of comments tonight.
Well, Mr. Bagley, thank you very much. And we are very, very pleased that the Minnesota Vikings and the state of Minnesota have come to an agreement. We look forward to a long lifetime association that will continue between the state of Minnesota and the Minnesota Vikings. So we're very pleased to hear your words of making agreement with the state of Minnesota. Thank you very much. We now hope that we will get this passed tonight on the House floor and tomorrow on the Senate floor. Any questions for Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to just say a couple words, too, especially to Mr. Bagley and your team. You've been wonderful to work with. This whole process has kind of been like childbirth, which probably only one of you up here would understand. You go through the whole thing, and then after it's done, you apologize for all the cuss words and all.
True, they weren't that bad.
They weren't that bad. But we have a very good product here, and I look forward to getting this passed off the Senate floor. And a tremendous thank you to all the people that you mentioned. It really has been, I don't know if I'd go so far as a labor of love, but it's been, it'll be a joy to pass
like
and get
labor.
This going.
Thank you, Senator Rosen.
Recalling tonight that I think the first time that I talked with Mr. Bagley, representing the new owners back in 2005, talking about what it would take to move forward on a new facility. And here we are 7 years later, and we're on the verge of finally getting that accomplished. So thank you very much, Mr. Bagley, and thanks to all of your colleagues in the Viking organization.
Thank you very much.
I see Mr. France, Commissioner France is here. Ask him to come forward, Commissioner. Thank you. Since the electronic pull tab and electronic bingo and those revenues are key to this whole deal, I think it would be helpful if you could share with the conference committee your perspective with regard to this element in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I think one of the things that that I wanted to really stress tonight was I know that Joel Michaels did a great job of explaining the transition from net receipts or from gross receipts tax to net receipts tax. But I think one of the things I wanted to talk about was the work that Tom Barrett from the Gambling Control Board did in working with the Department of Revenue and the folks at Revenue, Dr. Paul Wilson and other folks over there, who took a real serious analysis of the industry, this industry that's been around since the 1940s. We've had pull tabs for over 30 years, and we looked at trying to take this new opportunity to add the electronic games to the existing lawful gaming industry. And it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to work with Tom Barrett. And I think in working with that, coming up with revenue estimates that we feel are conservative, that are reasonable, and that are based upon the new games that will provide opportunities for the charitable gaming industry going forward. One of the things that, that Mr. Michaels mentioned earlier was that the new rates will go to a net receipts tax beginning as soon as enactment. I think July 1 is the date of the new rates. But those new rates will generate approximately $57.9 million in revenue for the state of Minnesota in the first full fiscal year. Our estimates are that it will generate an additional $66 million in profits for charities. Then in 2016, the rates will be dropped down based upon target revenues that are estimated. And if those targets are hit, then the rates will be dropped to give more relief to the charities at that time. Part of that rationale for that change was that after that point, the sales tax exemption will be paid for through the building of the stadium, so there will be less need and demand on the revenues. But we think this revenue stream will be provide the adequate basis to provide funding for the bonds that will support the state's share of this stadium.
Questions for the commissioner?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebert.
Mr. Chair, thank you. With regards to the tip board situation, I see on the bottom of page 45 that there is a mechanism in place, reporting if there is a loss or not remitted, there's a 6% tax. Is that pretty common language?
Commissioner?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator. One of the things that we wanted to make sure that in providing for these tip boards, because of the concern and unpredictability of the legality of this new gaming opportunity, and also because we didn't, it wasn't proper for that any kind of a gambling activity like that's related to sports to be part of the stadium bill. We wanted to provide an opportunity for that, for those games to be implemented, and if they are found to be legal through some legal procedure, then those can go forward. But the rates will be there'll be no tax on those games to begin with.
Thank you.
See no other questions. Thank you, Commissioner. Next, I'd like to call on another very important partner in this whole development. That's Mayor Ryback from the City of Minneapolis. Mayor, do you want to come forward and make some comments about this deal from the perspective of the City of Minneapolis?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's so nice to come to this table and not have to worry about the questions that will be asked. I mostly just want to say thank you for great work. It was literally a year ago today that I came to the Capitol with Council President Johnson and proposed that we enter this work, and it seems like a long time ago, but it should be noted that you'd already been at work of this for a long time already. The folks from Ramsey County did an exceptional job in doing that, and we picked up the ball after that. I really want to tell you that this has been, while difficult, a real joy. And I know that's a strange thing to say in a period of time where we're dealing with these hot-button political issues, but if you stop and think about all the tough things that happen in politics, we did put together a coalition of people from all over the state, crossing different party lines, and we put a whole lot of things aside to solve a problem that's been around for 12 years. That's a really good thing. And with all the tough things that happen in politics, this will be an experience I'll always remember and fondly. And I just want to thank you for the partnership and the friendship.
Well, Mayor, as a former mayor myself, I fully understand the importance of leadership from the office of mayor. And, Mayor, you have given exceptional leadership to help get this deal done. We very much appreciate all the good work that you've done and the help that you've given us along the way to help make this happen. So thank you very much, Mayor.
Very much.
We will now give an opportunity for anyone else in the audience who wishes to come forward and address the conference committee.
This has been the best Viking game we've ever seen. I told a few people today, the last couple of weeks, it's like you're watching a game and the intensity in the shoulder blades. Seriously, 24 hours ago, we're outside for the last whatever. Finally, we looked at each other and we're like, we might be able to do this. For the first time, we actually reached for a nacho without that intensity. However, seriously, we know we're still not at taking a knee. We still have to hand the ball off a few times. We are Viking fans. We're prepared for the worst. You people, thank you so much. Right now, the state of Minnesota has the opportunity to do something the Vikings could never do. Not rip our purple hearts out. Thank you very much. I believe you're going to be our next governor, Senator Rosen. Thank you.
Mr. Spooner, I need to have you indicate yep. your name for the tape, for the record, so we can identify.
Larry Spooner, Jr., Plymouth, Minnesota. My boy is a nuclear submariner.
Mr. Spooner, Representative yes. Lanning, Representative Hoppe, and I are going to be on the House floor for a while yet tonight. Do you have any more nachos?
Tell you what, I'm smelling the ribs smoking now, baby.
We're going to have a barbecue if we get this through.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the record.
Hi. Corey Merrifield, SaveTheVikes.org. Just wanted to say a couple of words on behalf of the Minnesota Vikings fans, not just across the state, but across this country. I just wanted to say thank you. Anytime you can get 102 people to agree on one thing, that's a tremendous effort. And I know you guys have been working amazingly hard at this. And I just hope to see your efforts go through and pass. And again, on behalf of the fans, I just want to thank you so much for the sleepless nights and all your hard work.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairman Lanning. Dan Dobson, Financial Accountability for New Stadium, our fans. I hate to raid in on the parade here, and I have to really compose myself as I talk here. But this bill is unfair to the taxpayers of this state. It's also unfair to the voters of Minneapolis. The voters of Minneapolis passed a charter referendum as putting into their code that they be allowed to vote on any expenditure, and the language was quite clear, any expenditure of $10 million or more on any sports facility. Clearly, the voters of Minneapolis wanted to be heard. By taking their right out to vote on this proposal is unfair to the citizens of Minneapolis and the taxpayers of Minneapolis. Mayor Ryback's rationale saying that the state is imposing a tax. The state is not imposing a tax. Mayor Ryback came up here and asked to be taxed, that this taxes be continued. And it's not, he keeps saying it's a new tax. and therefore it doesn't apply. The language is quite clear, $10 million of any city resources. I know it's probably too late. This bill is probably going to be done. We're going to have to go to the St. Paul, to the Minneapolis City Council, and let those people know that they should stand up and enforce the charter. It's unfortunate this committee rushed through and pushed this bill through. The Vikings are not going to Los Angeles if you didn't pass a bill this year. If you had waited another year, you could have gotten a much, much better deal. This is the third highest contribution by any governmental unit in the country. We look at our budget deficits and the problems that we're facing. We had, what, a $6 billion deficit last year, and to spend $1 billion, the largest capital project in the state's history, to enrich one billionaire from New Jersey is an obscenity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spooner. And I'm sorry. Mr. Dobson, I'm sorry. It's been a long day here. Just want to remind everyone that if this bill passes the House tonight and it passes the Senate tomorrow, within 30 days, the city of Minneapolis has to vote on whether or not to move forward with this deal. So, yes, sir, please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Dan O'Gara. I am the owner of O'Gara's Bar in St. Paul, which has been in my family since 1941. And I want to speak specifically to the gambling portion of this bill. And I just want to thank this committee and all of the authors. We've been working on this bill or a variation of this bill for many years. And I think that the public needs to know how much time that you folks put in and how much time your staff puts in. I've been up here all week, and you guys have been up here all session, and I just want to thank you for your time and leadership.
Thank you, Mr. O'Gara. Anyone else who wishes to be heard?
I got to sit.
Yes, please identify yourself.
Scott Scott, Maple Grove. And I, too, just want to echo from Larry, from Corey, from all the other Viking fans that are here, from all the Viking fans that are outside, for the ones that are texting us and tweeting us all night long, for the ones who send us pizza from Arizona. It's out there, and we will share that with you later. if you want to come out. So it would probably be a little cold, but Larry forgot to mention that, so that's part of why I came here as well, too, to let you know that offer stands as long as it's out there. And from around the world, because I know Viking fans literally from around the world. I know some of you have gotten emails from them, but the Vikings are a worldwide team, and you're taking care of that asset. They're not leaving to L.A., like the guy said, because you're taking care of that right here. You're getting it solved, and we thank you so much for that. So if it was out of decorum to sing Skull Vikings, I would do that for you right now, but I think someone might stop me. I don't know. Well, if they dare, but I won't do that, so we'll do that later. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm King Wilson, the Executive Director of Allied Charities. I appreciate the time this evening. I just want to say a couple things. As Mr. O'Gara says, we've actually worked with the bar owners for a great many years on portions, the lawful gambling portions of this bill. I would first of all like to thank you for the allowing us to do electronic link bingo, for allowing us to do electronic pull tabs. I'd like to thank you for the sports-themed tip boards. I'd like to thank whoever's idea it was not to tax it. I think that was a good thing. You know, that's one that there's some questions out there. We believe that it's been written in such a way that it's going to be something very good for us, and it's also something that if a question or two pops up someday, if somebody else in another jurisdiction or someone challenges it, then we will have the enabling legislation in place. Just if there is that question, and I think that's a real positive. When we set out to do the electronic link bingo and electronic pull tabs, our focus was on doing significant tax reform and relief. I would like to thank you for the reform end. I think we've made great strides there. I think eliminating the distributor tax so we don't pay tax up front is going to be very helpful. When we were in the good times, the cash flow was a lot easier, but as we've scaled back, I think we're in a position that this is going to help greatly. I think the change on going from the combined gross tax to the combined net receipts tax is a huge change that's going to be very beneficial to organizations. I tip my hat. I don't have a hat on, Mr. Spooner. Maybe I can borrow yours. But I actually still don't know if it was who it was at the Department of Revenue, the commissioner, if it was Mr. Barrett. I know we had a meeting one morning. We looked at all kinds of different proposals, and that afternoon we came back, and they had this graduated net receipts tax, which is something that really we hadn't thought of before, and a tax on net is going to be a really wonderful thing. So we're looking forward to that. That being said, I do want to express a little bit of disappointment at the rate reductions. We had hoped to get more. We know that you had tough decisions when you look at the numbers. That's the way it is. I would like to say that as we've gone through this process, as we've looked at the numbers, we believe that the rates that are contained in here right now in the bill, it's going to make it a little tougher, maybe much more tough or economically to be economically viable for some organizations. However, I think we're going to need to all work together. I've already chatted with Mr. Barrett. I think because of the changes in the taxes, we're going to have to do some training, retooling, relearning how people do things with their games to hopefully now under net be able to pay higher percentages. But we do have concerns at the level of taxation that's in this bill. We hope we're going to be able to hit the numbers. I know how confident the commissioner is, and we hope he's right, and we will work forward to that. The last thing, I just want to close with, it's one of those little irritant things. Every time I looked House Senate version, it didn't matter. All the numbers up till tonight, whatever the rate, the first rate was 9.73, 18.65, and I really like that we now have at least even numbers. It's going to make it a lot easier. I remember Representative Hoppe last year when we had our original bill when we were just going to go a flat 1, 2, 3%, but you like whole numbers too, so maybe that came from you. But I think you've got a difficult decisions. I'd like to thank the staff as well. I know we've made some changes even last minute to help make the bill better. They work long and hard, and they probably nobody, no more than anybody, will be glad when we're all out of here in a day or two. And with that, I hope that we can get out of this conference committee and we can get the House up to vote on this tonight, and you can move it out. And Senator Rosen, good luck tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. And as we experience some new things with this bill, if it is finally passed.
It happens.
Just a moment, sir. Yeah, Mr. Wilson, I was wanting to say that we're embarking on some new ventures here for you and for the state, and I'm sure as time goes along, we're both going to learn something about what works, what maybe doesn't work as well as we had hoped, and that obviously we're going to have to be staying tuned to all of this and making adjustments as need be along the way. Identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is David Gunderson. I'm from Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and I want to thank you. I'm also known as Viking Dave, Sir Gunnar of the Viking World Order. The guys from the Viking World Order want to thank you very much. Sid Davey wants to thank you very much for keeping the Vikings in Minnesota.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Melander.
Thank you. Just on behalf of my name is Harry Melander. I'm with the Minnesota Building and Construction Trades Council, and our organization, as I've said many, many times in front of you, represent well over 50,000 workers in the state of Minnesota. And on behalf of those 75,000 workers that will have an opportunity to work on this project, the 4 million work hours that will they will have an opportunity to feed their families, their children, make their lives much better. This is a huge jobs bill. And I'm stuttering a bit because I'm actually somewhat overwhelmed on the hard work that you've done. You've stayed with us from both sides of the political aisle, and you really have done a good thing for Minnesota workers. And we appreciate you, and we will continue to show our gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Melander. Yes, sir, please identify yourself.
Wade Lunenberg with Unite Here, the hospitality union here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. I'd like to thank you for embracing this opportunity to create 1,000 good service sector jobs in our economy, for supporting, I think, what is one of the most important pieces in the hospitality industry and the infrastructure here in Minnesota. I believe that these jobs are going to really start moving the hospitality industry again ahead. And, again, just thank you for your service and your time with this, particularly Representative Lanning and Senator Rosen. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to be heard?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Roger Arnson. I represent the Minnesota State High School League, and obviously we're very pleased with the provisions in the bill and on behalf of the students that will be playing in the new facility when it's here, and we look forward to that very, very much. We appreciate your efforts and seeing that we were included. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I would certainly like to have a few comments from Mr. Mondale.
Welcome, Mr. Mondale. And I don't think there's any among us that's probably spent more time on this than he has. Welcome.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I think I'd echo on behalf of Mayor Ryback about how well we've worked with the bill authors, how well we've worked with legislative leaders, rank and file legislators. We've gone through a process here of, what, 8 hearings? Most of them were about 8 hours each. A little short floor session the other day, what was it, 11 hours, plus 3 in caucus, smooth caucus, 5 in caucus. It's been good to work with the city. It's been great to work with the Vikings, the bipartisan commission. It's hard to believe that this is almost over, but we won't clap our hands yet. We got a little work yet to do. But I think in the end, I think the conference committee did great work. We put together a proposal that's going to work. It's going to work for our taxpayers. The state's going to get a considerable return on their investment. It's going to work for the city of Minneapolis. It's going to have their future, their downtown, here for the next 30 years. It's going to work for the Vikings. We're going to have a competitive team in this market for another generation, and it's a good deal for all. You've made the proposal better, and you should feel really good about what you've done and what you're going to do. I look forward to watching you from the comfort of a quiet office while you get this thing passed tonight and tomorrow morning. We will move ahead and get this implemented and build a great world-class facility, not only for the team, but probably most importantly, for all the kids, all the civic organizations. You saw Mr. Aronson earlier, that I have a great facility to play in the next 40, 50 years. So you should feel good about your work, and if I help, that is great, and congratulations.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Mondale, you've been wonderful to work with, too. I was kind of surprised, actually, but you've been great to work with. No.
Clearly, you won't get endorsed for governor in the Republican.
However, Mr. Mondale, I do want to say, put a shout out to your boss, the governor of this great state. He has done a tremendous job, too. He's been wonderful to work with, and I think we've had a great working relationship with him. He's been steady at the wheel on all of this, and I really appreciate his support and vision and commitment to this project.
And, Mr. Chairman, I must say, there's been a support group like a life raft around this process. And it's been the bill authors. It's been the bipartisan commission group that's worked on this. And it's been the governor. And the governor has never wavered that we could get this done. But he also never went off on his own. He made sure that we kept this thing together, that it wasn't going to be a Democratic bill, it wasn't going to be a Republican bill, it wasn't going to be an urban bill. It was a bill that everybody could support. And I think without that leadership, we all know we wouldn't be there. So we had a great team on the legislative side. We had a great team on the governor's side. We had a, this all came together, and it's been a pleasure to be in this process. Congratulations to you guys. Great work from this committee. You made this bill a little sloppy coming off the floors.
It wasn't pretty.
You guys made this bill work, and this we're gonna build a stadium out of this. We're gonna build a world class facility. The committee should feel really good about the work it did. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mondale. Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Mr. Mondale. If you 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do a little business. Mr. Chair, certainly we brought a bill off the House floor that I think improved with some ideas that we've got from the Senate. I think, for example, Mr. Mondale, I think added much better language on LEED and other environmental aspects of the building we're going to build. I think we added some things from the House, 25% Minnesota materials to the extent practical, steel made from Minnesota iron ore. I'm glad that the Senate was able to agree to the soccer provision to make sure, and we talked about rent for the soccer, and I do hope that we see a soccer team here. Mr. Mondale, there's going to be a question that comes up. We had two overruns that we were dealing with, construction overruns and then operating overruns. And I think we've made the bill better, especially on the construction overruns. But I just want to hear from you how you see it going forward on the construction and on the operations.
Mr. Mondale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, where we see this going is first thing we need to do is to sort of design what we're going to do. So there's a process laid out in the operating agreement with the new authority when it's appointed, working with the Vikings to sort of do the final design in the building. You know, where are the baseball locker rooms? Where are the facilities for the Final Four? Where are all the things so that this is a multi-purpose? And then there'll be a bidding process, and there's a number of ways that it can bid. It's obviously a public bidding process. But for the construction piece, and maybe more, we've been directed by statute, and we would, and we've heard testimony in the Senate. We've had earlier on a constructor called Hunt Construction, as well as Mortensen, say, we will bid this out on a fixed bid basis, not to exceed. So the way we have it looking today, it's an $822 million building. There will be a public bid out not to exceed $822 million. So there is no risk to the taxpayer on cost overruns on the construction of this building. So two, and I'm not sure if I've read the new provisions, but there's provisions saying that the authority that will run this facility will seek out the same kind of contract with a third-party operator to run the facility. We actually asked for the language not to be as strong as in the construction, because actually there are different pieces. You might get somebody for the back-end maintenance, and you might get somebody there. But we wanted to have the ability to have more competitive pressure to get a better deal on that end. But the idea here is to have the same type of arrangement with an AEG or a company like that that would run the facility at a set price every year so that the public would not be on the hook for overruns, and that's the intent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mondale. Senator Rosen, you wish to make a motion?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair, but first I'd like to thank you for being my partner on this, my labor coach. that was pretty funny.
I noticed that it was a coach, not something else.
Honestly, Mr. Chair and folks out here, I couldn't have asked for a better colleague to work with. And the members of the working group were fantastic. So I hope to work on another project with you.
Well, Senator Rosen, thank you very much. The feeling is mutual. And thanks to all who have helped get us to this point. Along the way, we've had celebrations, we've had disappointments, we have a little celebration now, But we really can't celebrate until we get a positive vote tonight on the House floor and tomorrow on the Senate floor. With that, members...
I need to make a motion.
Okay.
I move that we adopt the committee report, yes. Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Discussion to the motion to move the committee report. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We are adjourned.
Thanks.